Ephesians chapter 4, and it's a short reading tonight. It's two verses, the last two verses of the chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, I will read it again. It's a short reading. We'll just read it again together. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now we have before us in these two verses a list of six sins or ungodly characteristics that we should put away from us. And then we have, secondly, three godly attributes that should characterize our lives. And you may think, you may have looked at verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, and you may think, well, this is not for me. You know, this must be for someone else. I would hope tonight, as we look at these verses, that we all search our hearts as we think about these things. Because I think these are verses that are hugely relevant for us as we think about, and in particular, I would like to think about the sin of bitterness. Paul says here in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath and anger, clamour and evil speaking and malice be put away from you. I would like to speak tonight about bitterness. And I think that bitterness heads this list of these six characteristics because it often leads to the other sins that are mentioned. In fact, we could say that the other sins mentioned here, such as wrath and anger and clamour and slander and malice, are manifestations of bitterness in our hearts. So we're going to look at the sin of bitterness tonight. The sin of bitterness. I noticed here as I was reading that we have six sins and then we have three godly attributes. And I noticed as well, and this is maybe me just being an accountant, I noticed in Galatians 5 we have 18 works of the flesh and 9 fruits of the Spirit. It's interesting, I find it interesting. It might just be a coincidence. But perhaps the Christian life is just that much simpler than the sinful life. You know, living the Christian life is not a massive list of things. It's living a simple life according to the character of God. And so we have before us tonight three things that should be characterizing us. Three positive things. So the sin of bitterness, what is that? What is bitterness? Bitterness is something that characterizes the ungodly and the unconverted. In Romans 3, I'm sure you're familiar with the verses in Romans 3 which speaks about the unrighteous and the ungodly and the unconverted. It says there that whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So bitterness is something that characterizes the unconverted, but it is also something that does characterize us, because we have been forgiven. Verse 32, yet bitterness is something that we need to put away. And bitterness, I would suggest, is that it's when we have been wronged, or we perceive that we have been wronged, and instead of forgiving the other person, we store the matter in our hearts and we become angry. That's how I sort of put it, and Jerry Bridges, he puts it a lot better. He puts it like this: bitterness is resentment that has grown into a feeling of ongoing animosity. Whereas resentment may dissipate over time, bitterness continues to grow and fester, developing an even higher degree of ill will. It is usually the long-term reaction to real or perceived wrong when the initial anger is not dealt with. So that is bitterness. Bitterness is when we have been wronged, or we feel that we've been wronged. Perhaps we wrongly think that we've been wronged, and we don't deal with the matter at the time, but we store it in our hearts and we bring it back to our minds and we think about it. We don't let the matter settle, and we bring it to mind. We remind ourselves, and the feeling of animosity starts to fester and to grow. And this is something that happens, something that really can happen in a Christian's life. Bitterness and resentment is not compatible with our Christian life. But sadly, bitterness is something that is prevalent amongst Christians. I'm old enough to have seen many sad things happening to friends and to families and to fellowships because of bitterness. Because of people going back years, decades sometimes, bringing things back and feeling a sense of animosity against other people. How sad that Christians could really do this. And I'm sure you have seen as well in your own lives how resentment has become to bitterness and has destroyed relationships and friendships and churches and unity amongst Christians. I'll quote Jerry Bridges once more. Bitterness frequently occurs within a local church family. Someone is ill-treated in some way, or at least they think they've been. Instead of seeking to resolve the issue, they allow the hurt to fester, and over time they become bitter. Or it may be that they have sought to resolve the issue, and the other person does not respond. Perhaps they have even gone to one of the elders, who doesn't seriously listen to them, and he dismisses them as their own problem. But regardless of the actual or perceived ill treatment, bitterness is never a biblical option. We can be hurt and acknowledge that we have been hurt without becoming bitter. End quote. I think this is quite true, that bitterness often occurs amongst local church fellowships, and problems are allowed to fester and to grow and become real issues amongst people. But as Jerry Bridges says, bitterness is never a biblical option. Perhaps we have good reasons to feel wronged. Perhaps there has been actual sin being committed to us. But I think it's important for us to remember tonight that bitterness is never a biblical option. It's never a biblical option. How does bitterness manifest itself? Well, I think that perhaps the other five sins mentioned in verse 31 are manifestations of bitterness. We'll not go deal with all of them here, but we get a feeling of what Paul is dealing with here. He speaks about wrath and anger, and he speaks about clamor. I had to look at the dictionary for that one. And I think the word is loud quarreling is something which defines that. And evil speaking or slandering and malice. Malice being hatred with sort of evil desire for harm against someone. And these are manifestations of bitterness. And I think in particular, what I think is so relevant is this evil speaking, slander. And I feel often that slander is very often the manifestation of bitterness. When people start to tell others about what has happened, bringing things up that has happened perhaps years ago, maybe not so long ago, maybe it's recent, whatever, it's slandering and it's defaming other people when you have a bitterness against someone. Slandering and evil speaking is something that the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about. And I was just reading through the book of Proverbs, or some of the chapters, the other night, and I came across this verse. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says this: "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." He who repeats a matter separates friends. Slandering separates friends, separates families, separates brothers and sisters in the Lord. We know the danger and the huge damage that can be caused by slandering and how we try to spread our ill feeling to others so they too can feel resentment and bitterness against someone. And we need to be aware of the danger of slandering, the danger of evil speaking. And the book of James and chapter 3 reminds us there, doesn't it, about the huge potential of damage that the tongue can cause. But bitterness does not always manifest itself in slandering. I think as well, and it's not mentioned here, but bitterness can also be manifested in just ignoring people. Not looking them in their eyes. Not shaking somebody's hand or saying good morning to someone on a Sunday morning can be a display of bitterness in our hearts. I wonder if there is bitterness in our hearts sometimes. I wonder if when we are together like this, or when we come together on a Sunday morning, or at other times, if we can look each other in the eye with a tender heartedness and kindness as Paul speaks about it in verse 32. It would be good, wouldn't it, if when we come together as an assembly, when we are together, whatever the occasion, whether formal or informal, that we can do that, that there's no bitterness or animosity amongst us as believers. And what are we called to do here by Paul? We are called to put it away. He says here in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away. When Paul says, let all bitterness, he means all kinds of bitterness, all degrees of bitterness, whether small or big, let them be all put away. And this all, it modifies the other items in this list as well. All slandering, all anger, all wrath, all malice, let them all be put away. Of course, in this chapter, in chapter 4 in Ephesians, Paul speaks very much about putting off and putting on, putting away and putting on. And we see that Paul has here a twofold approach. So we read in verse 22 that we are encouraged, or that we are admonished to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. And then in verse 24, that we are to put on the new man. So we have here a twofold approach. It's about putting off and putting on. And we are told here, we are commanded to put off, like taking off your clothes at night. You just take it off. It's not suitable. Take it off. Put it away. But it is a twofold approach. It's not just about putting off. The Christian life is not just about putting off. The Christian life is not just about not doing certain things. That makes us legalistic, not doing certain things. The Christian life is putting off and putting on. It's like a pair of scissors. A pair of scissors would be useless only with one blade. A pair of scissors could not function as a pair of scissors with one blade. But you have to join the blades in the pivot point, and then you can use the scissors for what it is suited for. And the Christian life is like that. It's about putting off and putting on. And so we are to put off bitterness. Put it away. And instead, we are to put on what Paul says in verse 32, these attributes: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So here we have how we should deal with the problem of bitterness. We should put it off. And instead of having that on us, we should put on kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. I love this word, tender-hearted. It actually came out in the word as a misspelled word. It didn't exist. No, spelling mistake. But it's a beautiful word, isn't it? Tender-hearted. Speaks about the heart, tender heart of mercy and kindness and love. Forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. So how are we to deal with the problem of bitterness in our lives? First of all, and we're going to look away from verse 32 for a minute. First of all, we should recognize that God is sovereign. I think we have a great example of this in Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers. He said to them, it was not you who sent me here, but God. It was not you who sent me here, but it was God. And then he said this, later on, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God, Joseph saw God's hand, God's sovereign hand in his life and his brothers' lives. Now, God never commands sin, but God allows sin to happen. Why? To build our character, to fulfill his purposes, and to make us more useful for him. And so when we are wronged, or when we feel that we have been wronged, and it's easy to say this, but we should look at God's sovereignty and say, God has allowed this to happen. There must be a purpose. So that's step one, recognizing God's sovereignty in our lives. And we should see things that happen to us that are difficult for us, perhaps embarrassing, perhaps defaming of our character. We should see them as God's hand in building our character and making us more useful for him. Step two. It's not a mechanical thing, but just three things I'd like just to mention. Be kind and tender-hearted. That's what he says here in verse 32. Instead of being bitter, be kind and be tender-hearted. And so when we are wronged, the temptation is to hit back, to get one back. But instead, we should be kind and tender-hearted. Perhaps you have been away, had a busy day at work, you come home and tea is not ready and the house is in a mess. And you are tempted to be angry, perhaps. But we are here commanded to be kind and tender-hearted, rolling up our sleeves and helping out. Perhaps a sarcastic comment comes your way, and you're tempted to say something back. And then you remember Proverbs 15, verse 1, which says this, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Great advice, isn't it, in the book of Proverbs? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we are to be kind, and we are to be tender-hearted when we are wronged, or when we feel wronged. And just thirdly and finally, not only are we to recognize God's sovereignty in our lives, and being kind and pursuing that brotherly love and kindness, but we are also to forgive one another. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Here is something which is so hard for us to do, isn't it? To forgive someone. To forgive someone when they have wronged us. But that is what we've been called to do. And here we have the greatest example of all. We thought about the example of Joseph. But here we have the greatest example of all. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now we have been forgiven by God. And on that basis, we should forgive others. Matthew 18 is a great example here. In Matthew 18, you may remember, we have the parable about the servant who was in huge debt. He owed, can't remember exactly how, I think it was 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents he earned to his master. And which is equivalent, I read up, 200,000 years of wages, 200,000 annual wages. That is what he was owed by his master. And his master, he called him in and he said, "You owe me this and you need to pay me this, or else you will be sold with your wife and your children." And the servant, he fell down and he said, "Master, have patience with me, I will pay." And the master was moved with compassion and released him, and he forgave him all his debt. He was forgiven all his debt, and it was a huge debt he was forgiven. What did he do? He went out and he found a fellow servant who owed how much? A few denarii. A quarter year's wage. And he said, "You owe me this, and I want you to pay me now." This man, he had been forgiven a massive debt. And it was written off, nothing more to pay. But he found somebody who owed him something, and he demanded that he was repaid what was owed. What's the relevance? Well, we have been forgiven all our sins. All our sins have been placed on the Lord Jesus. He has paid them all. He has forgiven all our sins. So how should we deal with someone, a fellow believer, who wrongs us? If God in Christ has forgiven us all our sins, should we not also forgive our brother or our sister when they sin against us? So how should we deal with bitterness? We need to humbly realize that in comparison to my brother's sin against me, I am the 10,000 talent debtor to God. And if God could forgive me in Christ, should I not also forgive my sister or my brother? Now, of course, we are not here suggesting that we should be doormat Christians, that we should let people walk all over us and never stand up for what is right. Now, we're not suggesting that. But what we are here commanded to do is that when we do stand up for something which is right, and at times we need to do so without sinning, without slandering, without malice, without anger, without bitterness. So let God's word speak to us tonight. We think about the sin of bitterness. Can I look into everybody's eyes tonight? Can you look at everybody into everybody's eyes on a Sunday morning? Is there things that are harboring up in your lives, in your heart, that you hold against someone? Well, let the word of God speak to us tonight. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just bow before thee tonight, and we thank thee, Father, tonight for thy word. We thank thee that thy word is powerful, and it is alive, and it cuts through our lives, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's like a light, it's like a torch that shines through our lives, and we see things in our lives that are wrong, that need to be dealt with, that need to be put away. So, Father, tonight we just pray that we will be honest before Thee. We just pray Thy word will speak to our hearts. We just pray that all bitterness will be put away from amongst us at Fernilee, that it may not characterize us, but instead that kindness and tender-heartedness and forgiveness will characterize us. Father, we just thank Thee that Thou hast forgiven us all our sins, and they are remembered no more. Father, we thank Thee for this. We thank Thee for our time together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.